also involved the seven trumpets and listing the various events that are taking place and the announcements that that are being made concerning what is getting ready to happen. Okay? And we saw in these, as these different trumpets were being sounded, the first trumpet. We had a third of all the earth was burned up, a third of the trees, a third of the green grass was all burned up. The second trumpet, something like a huge mountain, all ablaze, was thrown into the sea. A third of the sea turned into blood. A third of the living creatures in the sea died. And a third of the ships were destroyed. The third trumpet, the angel sounded his trumpet, and a great star blazing like a torch fell from the sky on a third of the rivers and on the springs of water. The name of the star is Wormwood. A third of the waters turned bitter, and many people died from the water that had become bitter. Okay? Then we talked about the fourth trumpet. The fourth angel sounded his trumpet, and a third of the sun was struck, a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, so that a third of them turned dark. A third of the day was without light, and also a third of the night. Now, as we were talking about this last week, you may recall that one of the things, again, you always have to remember the symbolism here, okay? Don't take these things to be literal, okay? So, the idea of a third of something happening, or something happening to a third of whatever it is, really, I think more than anything, as we talked about last week, has to do with just the idea that that this is very controlled. Okay, God is in control of everything that is happening. It's not just this, you know, blatant, you know, whatever happens kind of thing. It is very controlled, and it is very God has decided how everything is going to take place. All right, when these judgments begin to occur, He's going to do it exactly the way He wants to do it, and it's going to be in His way, in His time, and according to the plan that He has already put forward. So it's not going to be chaos and so forth. God has this all under control, which is, again, intended to give those who belong to Him encouragement.
Amen.
Okay? That no matter what goes on, God really is in control of everything. So much so that he can dictate how much of this He wants to have happen and how much of that He wants to have happen and so forth. All right? So we can find encouragement from that. Now, as we look at beginning, I'm sorry, Renette, you got a hand over there. Go ahead. It has to do with my understanding of it. It has to do with just the idea of bitterness and so forth that is going to take place. You know, the bitter waters and, you know, and those kinds of things.
But it doesn't mean that Satan
was
struck down.
No, that hadn't occurred yet. That's not going to occur for a little while. Okay? In fact, he's getting ready to be released. Okay? So that's basically where we were last week in looking at up to that particular point. If you look beginning in verse 13 of chapter 8, okay, after the fourth angel sounded his trumpet, we have what is referred to as the three woes. Okay? When things in the scriptures are repeated, when a statement or a word or phrase is repeated, it is usually done so for emphasis, to really show the importance of whatever is being stated and so forth. So when it gives three woes, woe, 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 that is to call attention to what's getting ready to take place.
Amen.
If it were one woe, people might ignore it. Okay? If it were two woes, then people might go, But if it's three woes, that calls people's attention to something bad is getting ready to happen. And it's going to be bad. All right? Now, so beginning in verse 13, the three woes says, as I watched, I heard an eagle that was flying in midair call out in a loud voice, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth. Because of the trumpet blast about to be sounded by the other three angels. Okay, we've got seven trumpets. Four of them we've already heard blasted here. We got three more to go. And keeping with the theme that we've been talking about throughout this, what is it? Things are bad. Okay? They're fixing to get a whole lot worse. Okay? They're fixing to. All right? That's a Texas term, right? Okay, they're fixing to get a whole lot worse. And thus the woes. Now, some of your translations in this verse say that it was a flying angel, right? And so, you know, questions people ask, said, was it an eagle or was it an angel? Which one was it? Well, when you go to the original language in the Greek, the word that is used there is eagle. Okay? The word for angel, angelos, is not found there. Okay? But the word, and I don't remember exactly what it is, avion or something like that, that is actually the Greek word for eagle. So that just kind of clears that up why some translations have eagle and some have angel. The proper translation should be eagle there. Okay? But he's given these three woes concerning the other three trumpets that are about to be blown and what's going to happen as a result of those trumpets that again, we're talking about this judgment time, all right, that is taking place. God's judgment is upon, and there's going to be a description here of what that is going to look like, that basically, when you begin in chapter 9 and verse 1, I think this is an apt description of it. Revelation, when all hell breaks loose, because that's exactly what this is going to be describing. Okay? Let me get somebody to read, if you don't mind, from verse 1 down to verse 6. All right, Judy, go ahead.
And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth, and have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green things, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he strikes a man. And in those days shall men seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them.
Okay. Let's talk about some of the, again, the symbolism in this and what is going to take place here. First of all, it describes the fifth angel sounds the trumpet and a star, John says he saw a star that had fallen from the sky to the earth. The star was given the key to the shaft of the abyss. So who or what is the star that had fallen from the sky to the earth? There's a lot of different ideas, obviously, talking about Revelation, and everybody's got, you know, opinions about it, and who it is, and what it is, and so on and so forth. And there are many who say, well, that star, it refers to Satan as the fallen angel, you know, in the war with God, and so forth. Let me suggest to you, as I have on the second point there, don't make too much out of the word fallen here, or the fallen part of this, Because I don't think that it, first of all, I don't believe that it refers to Satan and the war with God and being cast out of heaven and so forth. Falling in terms of falling, like we would say, falling away from God, but rather just falling from the sky. Okay? The reason that I say that is because notice the star was given the key to the abyss. Okay? Now, we've already seen in the earlier part of our study a particular statement that might indicate to us who this star refers to. Okay? I am he that hath, let's see if I can read it off of here. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, amen, and have the keys of hell and death. Now, who does that refer to?
Jesus.
Okay? He was, we saw earlier, Jesus was given the keys to death and Hades, right? To he's the one who has the keys. And we talked about that in terms of that basically that symbolizes that he's the one who has the power to bind people in hell or to release them and you know in death and so forth. He'd bring people back to life, you know. He's the one who has that power over death and over the realm of the dead. Okay? So it seems consistent with me that would be referring to him as being this one. And notice what it is that he says. Now, you know, people have a problem with that. Say, well, it says an angel. How many times do we find references to an angel or even a man that appeared? And as we look at that, understand that most likely that was Jesus. For instance, anybody got one off the top of your head you can think of?
Abraham.
The three visitors that came to visit with Abraham. Okay. Jesus was one of those three. Okay. And so, there's no reason that I can think of to say, well, no, that couldn't have been. Certainly it could have been, and there's a lot of evidence that indicates that it most likely was, or will be, Jesus, the one that does this, okay? So he comes down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand, Revelation chapter 20 and verse 1. Again, who is it that has the key to death and to Hades and so forth? It's Jesus. Okay? Now, what does he do here? He opened the bottomless pit, and smoke went up out of the pit like the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by the smoke of the pit. All right? So he opens up the pit of the abyss. What is the abyss referring to?
Hell.
Okay, this is referring to hell, to what we generally think of. When you think of hell, that's what it's referring to, okay? It is the place where God's enemies abide, okay? And so the pit is open, and this smoke comes out of the pit, and then some really, really bad things are getting ready to take place, all right? There are this description that is here, okay, of these locusts that came down upon the earth and were given power like that of scorpions on the earth. Okay? Now, first of all, they're told not to do what? What? Not to hurt the grass and the trees.
Yeah.
Okay? Why is that? Why would they be told that? Again, think symbolism here. When locusts swarm, what do they normally attack?
Grass and
tree. Grass and tree, vegetation, right? And the idea here, again, symbolism, they're They're not literally locusts, okay? But it's the symbolism that locusts throughout scriptures are oftentimes used to depict this idea of an army that is coming, that you cannot hide from them, and they're just going to destroy everything in their path. And when you have a swarm of locusts, literal, real locusts that come upon, that's exactly what they do. They eat everything in their path.
Yeah.
Okay? They do not typically harm people. Flesh. They're vegetarians, okay? They eat all the grass and the trees, leaves, and all that kind of stuff. They just completely consume and destroy it all. But here, they're told not to. Okay?
But trumpet number one destroyed a third of the trees and all the grass. Mm-hmm. It says that. So
right.
There would not have been any grass
right.
If you took it literally. If you took it literally. That's right.
Okay? All right.
It would not be a
right. You're thinking too literally, right. Okay? So instead of the grass and vegetation, they're told to do what? They're going to inflict pain. Bad pain, okay? Severe pain. Look at the description. They're like locusts, and they have they're like scorpions that have a stinger on them. Okay? And then look at what it says here. They're not given power to kill men, but rather to torture them for 5 months. Okay? All kinds of speculation as to what the 5 months refer to, and people take in and put in, you know, certain days, and they say, oh, well, this, you know, you'd add this to this and that to that, and so forth. You come up with this number and this many years, and so on and so forth. You know, again, trying to make something literal that isn't intended to be literal. 5 months is generally, okay, about the time when locusts swarm that they swarm and do their thing. Okay? And then, you know, they die and they go back into the ground and so forth. But generally, scientifically, about 5 months is the time when locusts swarm that that's what they do. So it's basically, I think, the idea of that they are given this power to do what they're going to do for a limited amount of time. All right? Dawn and then Chuck. Yeah. I don't remember five as being a specific associated with that, with number five. Who's got one of those lists? I was
just wondering if we remember what that meant,
Yeah, I don't know that five is one that's, is there anything on there about five? I don't think so. But again, I think here's an example of it's not necessarily five doesn't represent a specific thing other than the association that when locusts swarm, they generally swarm for about that amount of period. So they're only going to be allowed to do what they're going to do for a limited amount of time, I think is the general idea here. Okay? Chuck, you have...
It's a
season, right. The season of the locust, basically. I saw a hand up over here somewhere west.
Yeah, I had one of those sheets. It says on that mixed management betterment step would have our decimal system arose from the consensus better by man of his own fingers and toes. The perfect man had all those numbers attached. So the number 5, double to 10, came to stand for human completeness.
Okay. So again, just think of it in terms of a limited amount of time that they're going to be allowed to do this. Again, which tells us what? Yeah, this is all controlled, okay? They're not just released to do whatever. It's very controlled, and they're limited in what they're able to do. You can torture them, but you can't kill them. Okay? All right? Well, what does that sound like? Does that remind you of anything else? Job. Is that? You say? That again tells us who's in control. God. All right? That God is the one who says this is what's going to happen, and there's nothing in the whole universe that can do what God doesn't want done. You say? That it is all under His control. Now, this is kind of an artist's depiction. I don't know what John actually saw, but if you go online and you look this particular passage up, you can find all kinds of different drawings and so forth that people have come up with. But I think according to the description that it gives here, this is pretty good.
Pretty scary.
Yeah, it is. It is. And it's intended to be. Okay? If you go back and look at this, okay, beginning of verse 7, let me get somebody to read verse 7 down through verse 11. All right, Kathy, go ahead.
The locusts looked like horses preparing for battle. On their heads they wore something like crowns of gold, and their faces resembled human faces. Their hair was like woman's hair, and their teeth were like lion's teeth. They had breastplates like breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was like the thundering of many horses and chariots rushing into battle. They had tails and stings like scorpions, and in their tails they had the power to torment people for 5 months. They had as king over them the angel of the abyss, whose name in Hebrew is Abaddon, and in Greek, Apollyon.
Okay. Now, these creatures that are released are, again, as we said, they're not allowed to kill, they're only allowed to torture, right? And the torture is going to be of such an extent that, what does it say here? The last part of that first section there. Exactly. During those days, men will seek death, but will not find it. They will long to die, but death will elude them. Chuck?
Is the church in Goshen during this time?
Remember in the earlier part we saw, that those who do not belong to God are doing what? They're wanting to run to the mountains and hide and wish that the rocks would cave in and cover them so that they wouldn't have to face this. Those who belong to the Lord are being protected. All right? So this is judgment upon those who don't belong to God. All right? Now, again, keep in mind, I keep trying to remind you of this. Don't look at these things as being literal. There's not going to be necessarily, a creature that looks like this that's going to do this. The idea here more than anything is, again, John wrote this to share his vision to do what? To encourage those who belong to the Lord not to give up. Okay, in the face of whatever they're going to be facing. Because again, things are bad, they're going to get worse, but in the end, the victory is assured. Okay? So they need encouragement. As you look at these descriptions and what is going to take place, I don't know about you, but as it says, that scares the hell out of me. Okay? You understand how I'm saying that? Okay? And that's what it's intended to do. Alright? To cause those who have not yet committed their life to Christ to say, look, this is going to be bad. You don't want to experience this. And it's also intended to cause those who do belong to the Lord to make sure they don't give up because they don't want to be facing this.
Amen.
So if you understand it in that general sense, that can help you to see it, I think, for what it's intended. And again, not try to look at it literally as to what everything means and so on and so forth. And here's the reason that I say that. When you start trying to take everything literally, and you start trying to plug in people and events, as we've said all along, and trying to figure out, what does this mean and what does that mean, and it must mean this and applies to this and so forth, this is the kind of thing you come up with. Okay? That those who are saying, okay, well, you know, here we are in the 21st century, and, you know, it's going to happen soon, and when it does, that's going to be the locusts. Okay? And they take a helicopter, and again, you can go online, and there's all kinds of, you know, pictures of helicopters and just, you know, swarms of helicopters, you know, that are supposed to be, you know, well, this is what it's referring to. No, it doesn't. Okay? But this is the problem that you run into when you try to make it literal. Okay, you start coming up with all kinds of weird stuff. Okay, first of all, if it were going to be something like this, okay, the locusts were actually, you know, I guess a million helicopters or whatever, you know, and who's flying those helicopters? Who?
Better not be the devil.
who's flying the helicopter? Who flies helicopters?
Men
do. This is not a description of something that men are going to be doing to men that I see. Okay? So that kind of eliminates this kind of stuff. Where again, people are trying to plug in, you know, events and things and so on and so forth to say, oh, well, this is what it's referring to and it means this, and try to make that locust out into something like this. Again, symbolism. The idea of it is locusts, again, in Scripture represent the idea of destruction and turmoil and famine and all of those kinds of things as a result of locusts. So, again, the people originally reading this, that's how they would have understood it. Okay? They wouldn't have come up with something like this. Okay? Why not?
It exists then.
Yeah, you know? So this kind of thing is a result of people taking and again, trying to plug in, you know, okay, in our day, okay, it's going to happen in our day, so this is what it's going to be. And again, you end up misunderstanding and misinterpreting all kinds of things when you start doing things like this. When you try to get too specific about the things and so forth, then chances are you're going to miss what the real message is all about. Okay? That's the way that I tend to look at this, okay? As I go through it and read this, again, keeping in mind what the main theme is and what the purpose is, I think that certainly fits. And more importantly, it fits for all times, ever since the first century all the way to today and beyond for whenever it is that the Lord comes back again. When you start plugging stuff like this in, then that means it really didn't, none of this meant anything to the folks in the first century, okay, at all. And so, what encouragement would they get from any of this? All right. So, when we look at it in that general sense and we understand it in that way, then it fits all times with whatever is going on. Okay? Any thoughts or comments or questions there?
I know a lot of people trying to make this out of illnesses that are being... A man will be plagued by terrible illnesses, you know. And so we don't know 100% what that really means, you right. know. But I think we will know when it happens.
Well, again, you know, the big thing right now, and has been for, you know, for a couple of decades now, really, is the whole, all the turmoil going on in the Middle East and, you know, the Battle of Armageddon. Talks about, we'll come to that, you know, we'll talk about that. The Battle of Armageddon, what's that all about? Well, you know, we got the Israelites, the Israelis over there, and you got all these Arab countries, and, you know, and of course the battle of, the Valley of Megiddo is there, and that's what it's all going to come together in this massive war, World War III, there in the Valley of Megiddo, and that's going to be the final end of everything. Well, again, people are trying to plug things, literal things, into something that is not intended to be literal. Okay, Judy?
Usually when I talk to people about all of this and they want to, you know, put today's happenings and want to make this be the prophecies of Revelation. Look at Sodom and Gomorrah. God didn't need man's help to destroy that. Why do you think he will need man's help to do it this time? You know. So don't put something in there that you're not.
Well, again, you need to go back and look at it and understand. This whole trumpet, when it was sounded, where did it start? With this angel that opened what?
The
abyss. Okay. Well, who's in the abyss? Living people or dead people? Yeah. Okay. Or the demons. Okay. So, you know, again, when we start talking about this kind of thing where you've got human beings that are going to be acting out God's punishment, you know, and so forth, it doesn't fit with those kinds of things. See? So you have to be real careful about trying to plug that kind of stuff in there. Okay? The last part of that section, okay, as it describes those locusts, says they had, verse 11, they had as king over them the angel of the abyss, whose name in Hebrew is Abaddon, and in Greek, Apollon. Okay? Who is understood to be, you know, the ruler of the abyss. Okay, so he's going to be the one that's releasing and sending these, you know, whatever out to do what it is that they're going to do. Basically, to wreak havoc and destruction upon mankind. All right, so there is going to be this period where if you don't belong to the Lord, you are not going to be a happy camper, to put it mildly. All right, and again, understand that the idea behind this is to let people know, if you belong to the Lord, you have nothing to worry about, because you're not going to have to face this. Okay? If you don't belong to the Lord, then you've got a chance before this happens to get your act together, or you will face this. All right? Ms. Jean?
What version do you use?
The New International Version.
Right.
Abyss. Right. Same thing. It means the same thing. Right. Any other thoughts, questions?
I might have missed the one lesson you had about seals. So Christians are the ones with seals on
with the seal on their head, right. Okay. Anne.
Do people change their minds and repent when this happens?
There seems to be, and I don't have to find the, here it is right here. I know in verse 20, indicates in the sixth angel, the trumpet that's going to be blowing here and what's going to happen there. It says here, the rest of mankind that were not killed by the plague still did not repent of the work of their hands. Okay? And he goes on to write, so It indicates to me that once this begins to take place, that there's no repentance, there's no opportunity to go, well, wait a minute, I don't want to experience this, I want to give my life to the Lord, it's too late. That's my understanding of it. Because these things, well, let's go and look at it. The sixth trumpet, all right, and the angel, we just got a couple minutes, we can start on this, we probably won't finish it all this morning. The sixth angel sounded his trumpet, and I heard a voice coming from the horns of the golden altar that is before God. It said to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates. And the four angels who had been kept ready for this very hour and day, and month and year, which indicates what?
God's in control.
God's in control. When the time had fully come, God did what? He sent his son, right?
Yeah.
Okay, Paul tells us, when the time fully comes, the next time, this is what's going to take place. When God's time, when he is ready, okay? They were released to kill a third of mankind, The number of the mounted troops was 200 million. I heard their number. Now, again, literal? No. Not intended to be literal. Really intended to be, there's a whole bunch of them. Okay? There's a whole bunch of them, all right? And then it goes on to describe what these horses and riders look like. Their breastplates were fiery red, dark blue and yellow as the heads of lions, and out of their mouths came fire and smoke and sulfur. A third, verse 18, a third of mankind was killed by the three plagues of the fire, smoke, and sulfur that came out of their mouths. The power of the horses was in their mouths and in their tails, for their tails were like snakes, having heads with which they inflict injury. And then it comes to that part, Andy, you were questioning. The rest of mankind, so we have a third, right? We have a third that have been killed. Yeah. All right? So the rest of mankind that were not killed by these plagues still did not repent of the work of their hands. They did not stop worshiping demons and idols of gold, silver, bronze, stone, and wood, idols that cannot see or hear or walk, nor did they repent of their murders, their magic arts, their sexual immorality, or their thefts. So we have a third who are killed right off the bat. Right? And then the rest who are left refused to repent. Okay? So I think the idea here, and as we continue on and looking in chapter 10 here, the idea is, okay, you thought that that part was bad. Okay? We still got another trumpet to blow. All right? And so it would almost kind of be like, if we're going to look at that, that you would wish that you were part of the third, the first third. Okay? Lynette? Scripture doesn't say that specifically. That's something you've heard me talk about as a Russism, that that's my take on when the Lord is going to come back again, when all this is going to take place. I'm convinced that it is from what the Scriptures teach, that it is going to be at that time when the Lord knows, and only He will know, when there's no one else that's going to be saved.
Like Sodom and Gomorrah.
Yeah. Exactly. Judy, you had your hand up a moment ago.
I was just going to say the same thing. So.
Okay. Dawn? Okay, that's all right. We can go outside the box.
This reminds me of the different layers of suffering in Jesus' life. And it kind of seems like He went through all of His suffering, and then when it comes to the end, we will go through this. Not the same type, but different levels of it. And, I mean, He was at the point where it was just like, I know in His mind He's supposed to kill me, please. And I'm sure this last layer of people or whatever is in the same
place. They're going to wish that they were there.
Yeah. And it's, I mean, I don't know if that's true.
Well,
but in my mind, it seems like
that. Yeah. When it comes to, There's a description in the next part here, in the chapter 10 and chapter 11, talking about those who are being persecuted, these witnesses and so forth, that gives a really good description of that persecution that kind of parallels it to what Jesus went through. So you're really not that far out of the box. Okay? Chester?
I understand that the Christ gave us everything, but He never gave us. He knew that He had to go through this pain for the other cross. So He didn't shy away from it. So He was mankind, and He
God gives all the world.
Yes, he does. Well, and again, that's what this is. It's a warning. Okay? That's what it is. All right. Thank you all very much. We will continue on here next week.